Therefore, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have gathered together this evening in thy name, and we come before thee with thy living word before us, O Lord, even as we have sang the hymn that it is the new strength that we receive, it is through thy word which is living. And we pray, O Lord, that that new strength would be given unto each of us in this evening, that we would feel thy love and thy chastisement, Lord, that we would come closer to thee and walk in the full power of the Spirit of God. Abide thou with us and bless us this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a desire that we would read together from the first book of Samuel, chapter number 15. With God's help, 1 Samuel, chapter number 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 2,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he made Saul king over Israel. May God bless our reading. So, dear ones, we have before us the chapter that I believe is very familiar to us. There's a verse that stands out that I believe is very, very pertinent to what we have read. You know, we can't look at this as a story that took place and just sit in disbelief of Saul and how he disobeyed and the things that had taken place here and God's judgment as it came upon Saul, the king of Israel. And so we have to look at, as we read any portion of Scripture, to apply it unto our heart today and to our life, to really look at our life and look at this chapter and make a connection to it to see how do we stand as we read this. Are we a Saul or are we a Samuel or are we an Agag? What is it that the Lord is showing unto us? And it is the words that we have read, that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. So we know that obedience, when we break down what obedience is, we learn that first from Christ. Christ, we know, is our creator. God created us, so he owns us. But more than that, he redeemed us also. So he doubly owns us. He has every right upon our hearts and upon our lives. He has a right to ask and to give a commandment that is for our good. It's for our good, and it glorifies him. And we know that Jesus, often, as he walked, he spoke of that he came here to do the Father's will, which is what? It's obedience. He wanted to obey. There was no room for error. There's no room for sidestepping what God had obeyed. And he even said, he goes, "My meat is to do the Father's will." And when we look at the Lord's Prayer, as we recite that prayer throughout the entire prayer, everything that is spoken is speaking to the spiritual man. It identifies, it recognizes who God is. We hallow him, his name, his great name, and so on. And then there's one phrase in there that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." If we look at that as physical bread, that would be the only passage in that prayer that would pertain to the physical man. And so when we look at what Jesus said, "My meat is to do the Father's will," to give us what is his will. How do we know his will? We can only find his will through his word. And so we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Let me know today what thy will is for my heart. Let me know thy will." It is of utmost importance to know the will of God. And how do we know? How do we find it? We can't find his will. We can't know his will by something that we've been taught 20, 30, 50 years ago. And never pursue those readings and meditations and so on. To find out what his will is left entirely in his word. So we have to, brothers and sisters and my dear friends, the way to know the will of God is to read his word, to open our hearts, and to literally look at our heart to see this is obedience, to do what he said. And my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, we can rest upon the completed work of Christ. We can say we rest upon the completed work of Christ. But if our heart has not been changed, if we don't mortify the deeds of the body, how can we claim that completed work of Christ? Because Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So if we claim that we love him, but we know. And so, brothers and sisters and dear friends, what we must do when we're before the word and the word is before us is to open our heart in its entirety. What is there that I am keeping back? Is there something that I am keeping back from giving it to the Lord in complete submission unto him? We see that, and that Saul, the king, he took the beautiful stuff, the fatted calves and the lambs and all the beautiful, perfect stuff. He kept it. It looked good to him. And he said, "I'm going to do it to sacrifice." Completely going against the commandment of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we ever perform sacrifices? Of course, not in the killing of animals. That system is gone. But the sacrifices that we would commit or perform, where do they come from? Am I now going to look at, you know, because we have to look at what Saul did. Saul was given a commandment: go utterly destroy everything. Everything. God was bringing judgment upon the Amalekites. It tells us here that this was Israel's revenge against the Amalekites, what they did to them in the wilderness when it came up upon them from the rear and murdered all those helpless people that were bringing up the rear of the children of Israel. But also we read recently that Haman, he was an Amalekite too, and he was ready to destroy Israel off the face of the earth, and he would have done it if God wouldn't have intervened. So we see that God is bringing a righteous judgment. It's not for me to question the judgment of God. It is altogether righteous, always. Yes, even when I go through the fire, it's righteous. And so Saul was given a direct commandment, and he went. And he did, but he held something back. And, you know, he wanted to perform a sacrifice instead of obey, thinking that the sacrifice would be the way, because surely he would keep some of that spoil for himself. It's good stuff. You know, when we give sacrifices, and you know, we have to really think about what a sacrifice is, because when a mother loves her child, she does everything and anything for that child because of one ruling principle, is love. And so I dare say that if we tell that mother, you've sacrificed so much for your child, she would say, what do you mean I sacrificed? I loved my child. I didn't sacrifice anything. I loved him or her. And so when we love the Lord, our sacrifice is through obedience. Our sacrifices are through our obedience unto God. And we know that Scripture tells us that we are the temple of the living God. Our body is the temple of the living God. Temples. Now, we know that every temple requires a priesthood. And Peter tells us that you are a royal priesthood. And we know that when there's a royal priesthood, that there has to be the giving of sacrifices, so that we would present ourselves holy and unblameable before God as the temple, as the priest, as the sacrifice giver. It is all done through obedience. Jesus says, you know, we can say, Jesus is my friend. As if, you know, we take Jesus and bring him down to our level. He's my friend. We're bringing him down. It's when Jesus calls me his friend. He says, you are my friends when you do whatsoever I have commanded you. That friendship is the friendship that binds us together. That is redemption. That is where God has redeemed us. He has called us to be his. And we love him and we keep his commandments. And so do we ever do something because we're supposed to? Brothers and sisters, dear friends, it's empty. It's futile. You cannot work your way to heaven. We do. We are saved. We're not saved by our sacrifice. We're saved by our faith, and that alone. But that faith in God brings about obedience and sacrifice. The giving of ourselves for others, not because we're doing it to be saved, not because I want to go to the throne of God and show where I am. Here's what I did. I did this, I did this, I did this. And will it balance out? No, we're going to always be found wanting. Always going to be found wanting. And so we have to, as we read and as we understand, do we dig into the Word? What do we do during the week? How much time? Seriously. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, what is our allotted time for the Word? Well, I just come to worship and I'm good until next Sunday or Wednesday. Is that what we consider to be our sacrifice? I've come to worship tonight. We know that Apostle Paul says that we are to be He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I must know the will of God. And so we can think, well, we know it. God only reveals himself to those who obey him. God won't reveal himself to you if you can recite book, chapter, and verse from cover to cover. That's not his revelation. His revelation to us is when we study and prove. How do we prove? By reading and praying. We pray to God. We read the word and prove. What is that good and acceptable will of God for my life? And he blesses then, and he gives us life, and that eternal. You know, such a sad story. I know when we read of the prophet who went to bring judgment upon Jeroboam, and he was told by God, go and bring this judgment on Jeroboam. And Jeroboam stretches out his hand. He's going to grab this prophet. And it said his hand dried up, and he couldn't do anything. And he asked him, please pray for me. And he did. And his hand was restored. And the king says, I'm going to give you food. Come this way. Do this. I'm going to reward you. And he had a strict commandment. Do not accept anything. And do not return the way you came. Okay, so he heard the will of God. My dear friends and my dear brothers and sisters, that can only be found in his word. Paul says, though an angel were to come and tell you something different than what was left behind by his pen, which was directed by the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus himself, who had inspired him fully to write everything that he wrote, nothing to be dismissed, you know his will. And what happened? The prophet said, no. He could have said, you know what, I'll take all kinds of that spoil because I'm going to be able to give it as a sacrifice. He could have done all kinds of stuff. He said, absolutely not. He had a direct commandment. He knew the will of God. And then it tells us a lying prophet comes and says, hey, God talked to me too. And he said, go, come. So he went. And now God did speak through the lying prophet and told him, now tell him, that for disobeying the voice of God, he will not go back to rest with his fathers. That is so sad. He was deceived. He knew the will. He knew the will. How often does Jesus talk about be careful, be careful, beware of false prophets who lie in sheep's clothing, but inward they're ravening wolves. They're looking to devour you. Who? Prophets. Those who are preaching. Those who are preaching the word. Who? The word. If the word is not spoken, dismiss it in its entirety. Cannot be toyed with. Our lives depend upon it. The righteous judgments of God await those who disobey, who choose. The prophet heard the will of God. He disobeyed. Deceived. Deceived or disobeyed, it's the same thing. How can I be deceived? By not knowing the will. Well, you say, well, the prophet knew the will. Yes, but this guy also said, I'm also a prophet. He said, I'm also a prophet. And so he, in that moment, he thought, well, if he's a prophet, God spoke to him. Wouldn't have God spoken to him too? Wouldn't have God had left in his word something if he wanted us to know it? And again, I know I've said it many times. If it's extra biblical, throw it away. Don't receive it. It has to be found in the foundation, laid upon the foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord. He is everything. And it's in him. He says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? You know, you want to go do something for the Lord? If I want to go do something for the Lord, what am I going to do for him? The cattle are his on 1,000 hills. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? He gives me my breath I take. What am I going to do for him? The Lord just tells us, just obey me. And the sacrifices flow from a heart of obedience as we give ourselves in full submission. That is our sacrifice. Our hearts are given to the Lord. And through that, then, through that submission, through that realization of his will, and through the continual searching of his word and reading it and maintaining ourselves inside his word, how then? How are we going to? Let's think about it, brothers and sisters and friends. If you and I are tempted, we have a great temptation. Do I trust my Lord with that? Why don't I give it to him? Well, his grace is sufficient. I'll rest in the completed work of Christ as I will go and sin. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. What am I going to do now for that sin? Am I going to work, give, do something? The Lord has a plan for us. He knows we are weak, and he knows we will fail. Our simple thoughts. Think about if we, you know, a brother once told me, he says, you know, how many decisions do we make in a day? And I never thought about that, but we make decisions nonstop, right? We make a decision on what we're going to think about. We make a decision on what's going to stay in our mind. We're going to make a decision on what we're going to look at. We're making decisions nonstop all day long. Nonstop, we're making decisions. And are those decisions given and submitted unto the will of God? It's not possible, we will say. It can't, because we're men. And you know, I would never give anyone a out, so to speak, that I can't. I can't do his will in its entirety. God doesn't give us his spirit to be defeated and to live defeated Christian lives. Saul was a absolute hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. Brothers and sisters, when we go through our life and we allow ourselves liberties of anything that goes against, we read his will, you're going to know what it is. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus, he says, he was, where is it in Philippians, I think it says, he was obedient. What does it say? He was obedient unto what? Unto death, even the death of the cross. So he took his cross. He took up his cross. And he says, whoever will follow me, take up your cross and follow me. That's obedience. And when I take up my cross and follow him, my pride has been annihilated. It's gone. There's no pride. There's nothing. There's no desire for me. But I have to submit myself. We can say, well, how is that possible? Well, it's not going to be possible if I spend, the only time I read the word is when it's read from the pulpit and I'm following along. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen when I'm tempted and I just give in and move on. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. How will it happen? Search out his will. Search out his will. Read his word. That's when we spend time in him. We sang to him. It is a living word. It is through his word that he strengthens us. We ask the Lord, increase our faith as his disciples did. Increase our faith. Like, our faith not going to just, boom, here it is. You got all the faith you need. You're good to go. Go on your own merry way. If I want my faith to increase, if I want to have that true joy and that true peace in my heart that doesn't scare me when that pale horse is pursuing me, I'm not afraid of that horse. I'm not afraid of death. Jesus will take me through those doors. He will take me through the doors of death and usher me into an eternity with him. I'm not afraid. Why? Because I am in his will. How? How did Paul know he was in his will? How did Peter know he was in his will? How did the apostles know? How did all those who followed him know that they were in the will of God? It tells us in the scriptures that they were looking through the word and studying and reading. Are those things really so the way they're being told unto us? They're spending time and applying those things to their heart. We cannot, brothers and sisters and my dear friends, we cannot toy with the living word of God and ignore it and rely upon a completed work as I ignore his will. Yes. And I know exactly what was being said here. And I'm not making light of the completed work of Christ by no means. By no means. But I cannot rest upon that as I ignore his will, as Saul did here. What happened to him? What happened to him? He ignored the word and the will of God. He didn't do it. The prophet didn't do it. And here's the words. Behold, it is better. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You want to go give all your goods to feed the poor? What does Paul say? It does you nothing. It availeth you nothing. That's harsh. You've given everything. It avails you nothing. Why? Because you thought you could buy salvation through it. You think, I'm going to balance out my disobedience with my obedience, and hopefully my obedience is greater. No. Paul said it avails you nothing. You give your body to be burned. Nothing. It's better. Rebellion. What is rebellion? When I knowingly go into sin, isn't that rebellion? I know that is not right. I know when I yell at you, that's not right. I know when I smirk at you, that's not right. I know when I belittle you, that's not right. But I'm going to do it because you deserve it. You this or that. And so I'm playing this game with myself. And it says, I'm rebelling because I know that's wrong. I read it in the word. Or do I not know? If I don't know, that's because I don't care about his will. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubborn, rebellious, witchcraft, idolatry, iniquity. Why do we think that we can do those things? Why do we think that we can rebel? I can rebel. Why? Who told me that? He says, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Ultimately, dear ones, when we sin, we reject the word of the Lord. And this isn't meant, as we look at these words, this isn't meant for nothing more than for us to simply go and to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves on those decisions that I make every day, am I taking it to the Lord? Can he go with me in that decision that I made? Am I doing the will of my God? He told him, spare nothing. He's gonna give God the sacrifices, the beautiful sacrifices that God doesn't want. He wants the heart, an obedient heart that loves him. He doesn't need anything from us. My child, the hymn writer says, taken from the scriptures, give me thy heart. That's it. No fool can err in that. The gospel is so pure and is so lovely altogether that no one can say, it's too complicated, I don't understand. I might not understand the big horn and the little horn. I may never reach those levels of understanding, but I know what the will of God is. He's revealed it. And the only way he's going to reveal himself to me is through my obedience. Think about, we know that. I know we felt it. We all have, brothers and sisters. When we're in obedience, we feel his presence, the love of God, the peace, the joy that envelops our soul. You feel it. You feel close to him. And then when you're not so close to him, how ugly and dirty do you feel? How do we feel then when we know we transgressed? And what is it? What do we do then, brothers and sisters, my dear friends? We come to the Lord. He's merciful. He gives us this word tonight so that we would examine ourselves and to see, am I focusing on sacrifice without obedience? Am I trying to work my way to heaven as I ignore his precepts? Samuel never repented. Or Saul. He never truly repented because he says, you know, don't let the elders see what happened here. He still has pride in his heart. We can't come to the Lord with pride. We have to come broken. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We know what Jesus said to the young man. He says, sell everything that you have. And he says, I've done everything. He says, but there remains one thing. What is that but one thing in my life or in your life? None of the sacrificing will work. It's obedience. And so may we take to heart, dear ones, these beautiful words of chastisement and encouragement. It's not meant to put a weight on us, other than the weight of the burden of being yoked together with Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll take that on my shoulders. You take that on your shoulders. And brothers and sisters, we're going to have a unity that we today only dream about. Which one of us is not taking the yoke of Christ upon us if there's strife amongst us? Who is it? Is it me? I can say it's you as I ignore my disobedience. Because the things that are hidden from you and me, that we allow the liberties in our lives, they're hidden from us, but not hidden from God. And we cannot enjoy the sweet, full fellowship as a body of Christ unless we are in full submission unto our Lord and take that yoke. Take the yoke of Christ upon us and learn of him. May God bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.